Are you familiar with arguably the most exciting sensation in boxing today? If you're not, get ready to learn all about Noya, the monster, Inoue on today's episode of Sergio Storytime, brought to you by the Sweet Science Class. Alrighty, what's up everybody? Thank you for tuning in. Today we're bringing back a segment that we had the first couple months when we started this podcast back in 2018. And we kind of just got away from it, but we're excited to bring it back. We had a lot of people always asking about it, and people seem to really like it. So we're bringing back Sergio's Storytime, where he's writing articles. You know, he usually drops one every week or two, and he can hop on here, explain the article in further detail, and he always gives a nice lesson on it. Sometimes it's way back in history, sometimes it's someone current. The next week, we're going to go back in history, but this week, we're staying current, and we're going to be talking about Noya, the monster Inoue, an exciting, sensational, terrifying knockout artist at a very small weight. It's rare to see anything like him. So we got Sergio standing by. I'm going to pass it to him and really just let him take over. And he's going to go on the article that he wrote about the monster a couple weeks ago, I believe. So take it away, Sergio.
I appreciate it, Dustin. Thank you so much. I want to say hello to all our listeners, the Sweet Science Class family, and everyone across the globe. I appreciate this opportunity to discuss my article that I wrote this article back in January. The name of the article is called Lower Class, and what inspired me to write this article was when the awards at the end of the year of 2018 were announced, handed out of, you know, Fighter of the Year, Knockout of the Year, and so. And Fighter of the Year, without any doubt, and I agree with all the writers and all the voters, that it was Usyk who won the Super Series in boxing. And not only that, but he was the undisputed lineal champion at Cruiser. He had a sensational year. But what bothered me was, and the reason why I wrote this article was, the fact that, yes, Usyk, no doubt, but what about runner-up? Runner-up so happened to be in that lower class, or as I refer to it in my article, lower weight class, Inoue the Monster. Inoue the Monster, in my opinion, and I've been very, very explicit on the Sweet Science Class and other boxing forums, that after this past weekend, I have Inoue as my number one pound for pound. Many people are like, whoa, aren't you getting a little carried away, this, and that? And, you know, you may have an argument. Again, this is all opinion. You know, pound for pound, for heaven's sake, is as subjective as a scorecard. But the reason why I see Inoue the way I see Inoue, and the way I wrote about him, and I wrote about this in January, this is before the semifinals of Boxing Super Series that occurred this past Saturday, where he literally discombobulated the IBF champion at bantamweight, Rodriguez. His face, I think, if anyone saw the bout, I think that told the story. In less than 3.5 minutes, around and a quarter, when they were in the pocket and Rodriguez's head was forward and they were trading at phone booth, Inoue's left landed off torque, everything, just blazing, fractured his septum, shot him to the ground. And even you look at his face and you look when he gets up, you know, what a heart on Rodriguez, I gotta give it to him. And then fight begins again, and the left right to the body looked like it either fractured a rib, or Rodriguez was in the urinate blood for a few days. because his face, as he told his corner, do not throw in the towel, looked like he just went through a 15-round bout with Tyson. And was that about less than 4 minutes? He knocked him out. The third knockdown was just a formality because he kept on telling his corner, don't stop this, with a gushing nose, a demeanor like he had been through World War II. But I'm going to shift now back to the article, back when I wrote in January. I wrote this because I really, really appreciate the little weight classes. When I say little weight classes, I mean Bantam, Fly, and Straw. I really do appreciate those weight classes because those are the weight classes that I would say until Ricardo El Finito Lopez and Manitas de Piedra Calvajal at 108 and Mini Fly and Carlo Lopez at Straw 105, these weights were just completely out of the market in the setup that we had back in the 90s, which was the duopoly of HBO and Showtime that we had for almost 45 years. We still have Showtime, but it's just Showtime, you know. And then in the 90s, these pugilists came about, like, oh my God, Ricardo Lopez, oh my God, Michael Carvajal, oh my God, who just was 2 years ago eligible for the International Boxing Hall of Fame, a Calderon, the Puerto Rican Iván, El Niño de Hierro Calderon. And he's been snubbed the last two times he's been on the ballot from the Hall of Fame. Calderon held the strawweight division post-Benito until he retired. I think he has two losses at the end of his career. But Calderon is a first ballot Hall of Fame, but because of his weight, 105 pounds, the boxing world, the boxing writers, the boxing analysts, I don't know what it is about the lower class, you know, from Bantam down, it's like they're inferior. So that was the motivation of me writing this article back in January. And I remember the first time I saw Inoue was in early 2017. Again, it's not like his fights are being broadcasted on HBO or Showtime. I heard it. They told me, you got to see the mini Mike Tyson, blah, blah. So I go to YouTube and I YouTube him and I see his highlights. And I'm like, from an eye test, I'm like, wow. You know, like, wow. Let's forget his record right now. From an eye test, this pugilist is the whole package. It's beyond remarkable. And I continued in my editorial, not only the weight classes, but how they overlooked giving props, giving recognition. Yeah, Usyk, without any reservation, deserved Fighter of the Year. But what about runner-up? Because runner-up had two fights in 2018, and the irony of 2018 is he had a fight on December 31st, 2017. What I'm still not certain is, was it December 31st, 2017, East Coast? Because if that was the case, it's January 1st in Japan, because the fight was held in Japan, where he ripped his opponent in three rounds, defending his super flyweight WBO title for a seventh time, but that wasn't counted in the 2018 statistics for Fighter of the Year. Again, I'm not certain what timeline or how they viewed it. What I do know is that the article that I wrote in January, lower class, I republished it to the Swiss Science class, to Facebook, to just to the readers. And I did that the week prior to the semifinals with Rodriguez. Rodriguez was a fighter, one, undefeated. Two, had weight and height advantage. Three, had never touched the canvas. Four, was the IBF bantamweight champion. The monster, Inoue, was the WBO, if I'm mistaken, bantamweight champion. There hasn't been a lineage of linear in the weight class, and this was the bout that was in starting. I thought from the beginning it would last a little bit longer. With my surprise, it did last a little bit longer, because usually the last two fights, his fights have lasted one round. It lasted two rounds this time. But it wasn't the way, it wasn't the length of the fight, it wasn't the manner in which it ended. What really, really got me was the power of this man at 118. In the first round, and I've watched it three times, the bout, he literally, with a partially blocked right, you can see lifting Rodriguez with a blocked shot. And I'm like, and the thud, that's the other thing. I'm like, am I hallucinating? I mean, I'm not on drugs, I'm not on shrooms, I'm not on LSD. Like, why is it that I hear this thud every time something is blocked or lands flush? And you hear it again. And not only that, you see Rodriguez like bounce up after he's blocked the shot in the first round. Second round comes, and like I predicted, and I wrote it in the street science class and in the forum and in the other two forums I'm on, that I believe this fight was going to end with a checked left. It wasn't a checked left hook, it was a left hook. Because, yes, there was two more knockdowns, but at the end of the day, that was the beginning of the end. And it was this left, this torque, this power, this velocity, like caused like Wilder, right? Like think of Wilder in a lower weight. That's what I saw. He fractured his septum, gets up, comes at him with a left and a right to the body that hurt, that his facial expression left me in awe, because like Dustin said in the prior podcast when they were speaking of the week's fights, he looked like he had just been in a 15-round fight in less than 4 minutes. Just to state it, I am a huge fan of the monster. So obviously, there will be bias in the way I speak about him and the way that I perceive him. Like everything else, you know, if you're a fan of Wilder, if you're a fan of Fury, if you're a fan of Mayweather, if you're a fan of Pacquiao, you're going to speak with a bias because you're a fan. I am a fan. And his reign up to today reminds me when I was not even a teen yet, watching boxing with my dad, and the rise of Roy Jones. I'll never forget when he was facing Bernard Hopkins. I believe, I forgot the commentator's name that was HBO's. It was Lampley, I believe, Foreman, and this other dude, an older man. But he said that, I don't know if Hopkins is ready for this storm. And that's how I see the monster. The monster's rise reminds me so much of Roy. Because it's not that he's dominating, it's that he's dominating in a manner that you have a trend, right? You have a line, right? You have Loma, you have Bud, you have a Canelo, right? And they're operating, I would say, Bud and Loma a little bit above Canelo, especially his last fight, right? But anyways, Pierce, the way he's operating, the distance from Loma and Bud and his peers compared to the distance between Inoue and his peers, there's a very big gap difference. And I wrote this editorial prior to all this because the eye test is probably, when you have the eye test after years and years, intuition, and obviously, years and years of watching fighters, you see a fighter and you're like, that will be a generational great. Same way I see Virgil Ortiz Jr. Virgil Ortiz Jr. passes my eye test like miles. But Inoue has proved this Saturday is, I don't know what to say. You know, he is fighting now Nonino Donaire, and Nonino Donaire is a first ballot Hall of Famer to begin with. Nonino Donaire is one of the greatest bantamweights in boxing. This man buried Victor Chinian, who was burying everyone else at the time. The man started in 2001. Regal beat him. Imagine, Regal beat him, about 4 or 5 years ago, or whatever it was. But this was an old Nonino Donaire. You know, he used to be called the Flash, and they call him Thunder. He was a boxers fan. He was Roy Jones. Roy Jones is a fan of Nonino Donaire. And not only that, Nonino Donaire is just a stand-up gentleman sportsman. Just look at the fight that he knocked out his last opponent. First thing he did was get on his knees and grab his opponent's hand and ask him if he was okay, because he was moved by the way he had hurt his opponent. Nonino Donaire is fighting Inoue. Of course, different story with Rodriguez, because Nonino Donaire has been there, done that, seasoned, has seen it all. So I expect this fight to be longer. And when I say longer, I mean more than one round. But actually, in this case, I don't think it's going to be one round, two rounds. I think this is going to be a fight that's going to go into the mid rounds, because Nonino is as seasoned as it gets. So in summary, what I just want to tell the Suicide Class and all our fans, all our listeners across the globe, is that when I wrote this, my eye told me something that is flourishing right now. And what it told me was, this is something beyond sensational. It's like the first time I saw Mayweather against, first time I saw Mayweather completely just grab the bout and just dissect against Chico Corrales. When I saw that, when my father, my dad, and I looked at each other, and he goes, it's in the bloodline. This is going to be a generational great. I remember when I saw Pacquiao fight Morales the second time, the rematch, I go, wow, this is going to be something great. I remember when Roy fought Bernard Hopkins, and Bernard Hopkins was the favorite in the bout. And Roy, I scored it 116-112. Ringside had it 118-110. Judges had it 118-110. All right, this is what I see. Like I've mentioned over and over, it reminds me of the rise of Roy. And he has, I'm not going to get into the statistics and the numbers, his three belts, all that, but the eye test, to me, is the most significant. And again, when I wrote this article in January and I released it, a lot of people didn't give me a lot of, what's that word, feedback, Dustin? But when I re-released it prior to Rodriguez, a lot of people read it and gave me feedback. And it's interesting because I'm not really good at, I'm not great at calling a bout, as you can tell when, how do you see this bout going? I'm usually not in, I'm not trending. But with Inoue, I called it spot on. And I remember saying, I hope it lasts long. I hope it lasts at least two rounds. It didn't last two rounds. It lasted a round and 50 or 60 seconds. I got to look at the particulars. But listeners, ladies and gentlemen, my eye tells me something when it's great. And I've seen this greatness before. I've seen it in Roy. I've seen it in Mayweather. I've seen it in Pacquiao. And I'm telling you, this is not a fluke. And if you don't believe me, look at his resume, fights, not the numbers. Go Google highlights, fights, go, just do it. I just posted on our group and on the I believe Dustin posted on the page that he has in 5 minutes and 22 seconds destroyed two of the best in the boxing World Series, whatever it's called. In 5 minutes and 22 seconds, that's not even two rounds. He has annihilated his opponent. And one of the opponents in the quarterfinals was a top 10. And in the semifinals was the IBF champion who had never lost, who had never touched the canvas. So, I mean, if my words don't move you, my article doesn't move you, YouTube it. Look at it. If you have a trained eye, I hope you, and you know what? And I could be wrong. I could be wrong. This is boxing. You know, he might get knocked out by O'Neal today. Who knows? You know, I'm just saying that from experience, I've been watching sports since 1992, Mexican Independence Day, Chavez versus Camacho. I've been watching this sport with my father. And you train your eye that you, when you see something not great, just generational, like phenomenal, you want to really, 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 really stay focused, because that doesn't come every day. You know, the Lomas don't come every day. The Mayweathers don't come every day. The Pacquiao's don't come. The Roy Jones don't come every day. And this is a fighter that I believe. And the reason, again, I wrote it in January, so think about it. This is way before this bout, this past Saturday. This guy not only has it all, but he took in the first round some shots. Blush, from what I saw, was it was like he wanted to feel his opponent's power, just for reasons of feeling his opponent's power. And I don't know if anyone noticed prior to the bout, when Inoue arrived to the arena, he is from the Japanese culture, which are very, very meticulous. First thing he did was he went into the ring and bounced off the ropes, jumped on the canvas, shadow boxed, right? And obviously, no one's there. But he just wanted to get a feel for the details, the particulars of the ring. I mean, I've never seen that. And I've posted it. I've never seen a boxer do that. Again, he's Japanese. They've beyond, you know what I'm saying, dot their I's and slash their T's. You know, bouncing off the ropes, you know, just to get a feel of the ropes, you know, jumping on the canvas, shadow boxing in the ring. And I was like, wow, that's the level of professionalism he operates. And an article just came out today. Look what a sportsman he was. He released a statement that he was very, very, very upset at the way Rodriguez trainer pushed his father. The Japanese have, I mean, such respect for their elders. Mind you, this is his father, that he wanted to get revenge. But notice that he didn't do a dance. He didn't do, you know, a touchdown dance when he landed that nuclear left that shattered Rodriguez's septum. He didn't do a dance or point to the ring. He just lifted his arm and went to this corner and then just finished him. He could have done many things, as we've seen in boxing, that has been done. But his class, his culture does not allow that. And he didn't display that. And Dustin, I don't know. I don't have enough adjectives in my vocabulary to describe how much I love this fighter. He is in my personal pound for pound. And again, anyone listening, this is just me. This is not Ring. This is not ESPN. This is just me. Because not only am I a fan of his and a fanatic of his, he is my number one pound for pound. And I posted the reasons why. Because in the last 2 years, Bud, to me, has been spectacular. So has Loma. But when I look at Inoue, and we compare, you know, the distance of dominance, it's like it's another league. But then you hear people say, well, the opponents are not the same level. I agree. But those are the opponents in the division. What can he do? Estrada and Chocolatico everything that I've read, not that Chocolatico didn't want to fight him or Estrada didn't want to fight him, their management chose not to risk it. So he jumped to Superfly instead of staying at Fly, because he started at Light Fly or Junior Fly, whatever, Junior Fly. And they did not want to, so he just jumped. From the article I just read today, he plans to go to Featherweight. And I've read in many, many articles, and many people have told me, he knocks out 135-pound fighters, lightweights, during sparring. He knocks them out. And look at his fights, and you tell me, my cousin, Alex Rojas, if you're listening, I love you, primo. My cousin is a casual. And when he saw Inoue, he goes, this guy's made out of the same material as Godzilla. Literally, that's what he told me. And he's a casual. He's asking me how much did he make in this fight, or how much he's going to make if he wins the tournament. Now he's a fan. This is a casual. My cousin Alex was a casual. And you see him posting the success class. So if one fight can make a casual into a fanatic, and usually that's how you become really, really, really invested into boxing, because I had many people tell me Pacquiao did that to them. Mayweather did that to them. Roy did that to them. My fighter was Chavez that did that to me, that made me a fanatic after what I saw what he did to Hector Macho Camacho. So there's always that fighter that you will always go to and you'll remember, wow, this is the genesis. This is where I went from, yeah, Mike Tyson's the best, to, wow, Mike Tyson ain't really what I thought he was, with all these great fighters and analyzing and just breaking it down. And Dustin, that's basically it, you know? My article, The Lower Class, is pretty self-explanatory, and that's all I got to say in the Sweet Science Class. And to our listeners and everyone following us, you know, thank you so much, and back to you, Dustin.
Yes, sir. That was nicely done. And yes, his article it's all over Facebook, so you can go check that out. And, I mean, he pretty much said it all. I am becoming a giant, giant fan of Inoue. You need to go YouTube him if you haven't heard of him, if you haven't seen any of his clips. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and be ready for next week, because we're going to go back in history, and he's going to give a nice breakdown on one of the most peculiar, odd lives and boxing careers of all time, and that's Sonny the Bear Liston. So we'll get into that next week. I'm really interested in that, and that article is already floating about, so you need to check that out also on the page and in the group. So thanks for joining me today, Sergio, and I will call you next week for another episode of Sergio Storytime.
My pleasure, Dustin. Thank you so much. Thank you to all the listeners. Thank you to all the followers. And like Dustin and everyone, Jakeem and my Puerto Rican boy Felix, we're in every outlet. He's made sure YouTube, like us, subscribe to us. Make sure you get your notices when our podcasts come out. This is our passion. Again, we just do this in our own time, in our own accord. We're not getting paid. We're just doing this because we love this, and we love when other people love it. What we're telling them, you know, informing them, educating them. So that's all I got to say. Thank you so much for the time, Dustin. I really appreciate the science class. And God bless, bro. That's all I got to say. And peace out.
Sweet Science Class out.